Get connected with Take Two Radio on Facebook or Twitter at Take Two Radio. For email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit Take2Radio.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Take Two Radio. I'm Pam, your host. And I don't know, it's 4 o'clock. Do I say afternoon or do I say evening? I think 5 o'clock may start evening time. But whatever. We're here. We're happy.
Hi.
David, are you with me?
I am. I'm sorry about that. I got clicked off the first time.
Got clicked off of what?
They clicked me off.
When you called in?
Yeah. This is like the second time I tried. So I said,
okay, because, yeah, I didn't even see it. It doesn't even tell me the call dropped, because usually it does. If we lose a caller, it'll say the call dropped, and it doesn't even show that. So it might be something on your end. But anyways, we're here.
Yeah.
We're happy. It's
we're happy.
A very cold day in Chicago. We went from 80 degrees yesterday to 50 degrees today. As a high, mind you, not as a low.
Well, a 50-degree high.
Yes, yes. I woke up today with my allergies busting loose. And that happens every time, you know, we get towards the fall and the winter. And I thought, my gosh, what the heck is going on here? And I look at the temperature, and there it is, 51 degrees, and we're in September 11th. So I hope that doesn't mean we're going to get a bad winter, although they say the polar vortex is here to stay.
Well, I've had a touch of the polar vortex already about a couple of weeks ago, I think after that I'm prepared. Although I was surprised to hear that they never get below zero like we do.
Isn't that amazing? You know, when people think of Alaska, because David went on a cruise to Alaska, and when we think of Alaska, we think of really, really cold, like, you know, like North Pole weather. And really, it's not. I mean, yeah, of course it gets cold and it snows and everything, but I think that Chicago and New York and, you know, the states surrounding us get colder than they do. And it's maybe we should move to Alaska.
it would be an experience. I mean, there are things that we have that they don't. Well, anyway, where I was, I mean, it would be a little different. I mean,
right.
Their
well,
motto,
you know,
is
thing,
don't get sick. I mean,
yeah. Well,
and there's
I
a story
they
behind
one,
that.
They have one thing that we don't, and they have a couple months or something throughout the year where it's like daylight all the time and dark all the time, and I couldn't live
summer,
like
yeah.
that. Yeah, I couldn't live like that. I mean, I have to have daytime, nighttime. I mean, how do you know when to sleep? You know, doesn't that mess up your body? But I would imagine if you were born in Alaska or have lived there, you know, many, many years, that your body adjusts to it. But that's crazy.
You know who I remember was telling me was born there. I was reading about him. We had him on the show, David Gregory. He was born
there. Oh, really? Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Not where I was. He was born in Fairbanks, which is not where I visited. But, yeah, he grew up in Fairbanks, Alaska, and he came all the way over here from there.
Well, did he come here when he was a child?
When he finished school.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, then he must have experienced that type of day and nighttime mm-hmm. thing. And just for our listeners, so you know, we're waiting for our guest, Chloe Bridges, to call in. She might be running a couple minutes late. But, yeah, I mean, I am not ready for winter, just like I'm not every single year, and I just do not. I need to move somewhere where it's warm all year round. That's all there is to it. And it doesn't have to be, you know, 80 degrees every single day. But at least in the 60s or the 70s, I'd be happy with. So maybe that's asking for too much.
Tell Dave you want to move to Honolulu.
Honolulu. But I hear that there's a lot of humidity there, too, and that's another thing I don't care for because I have it here. And I know I don't want to go to the East Coast because they have it worse than we do. So throughout the years of doing customer service as my job, I used to talk to a lot of people around the world and especially here in the United States. And I think I narrowed it down to New Mexico. I think there's a portion of New Mexico where it could snow in the evening, and then the next day that snow is gone because it's like 70 degrees. So I think that may be one of my options. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I may be stuck here the rest of my life, but, I mean, it could be worse. It could be worse. So,
yeah.
And I want to take a moment just to say, you know, acknowledge 9/11. We've all, you know, been through it here in the U.S. And so many people lost their lives, and so many people are still struggling to have a life after being through it. And all of the brave officers and firefighters out there, you know, I want to acknowledge them for everything that they did. And the families that are survived by, you know, from the ones that passed away. And I just, there's so many people out there that were affected by that. And I think that, you know, I know that's a day that we'll never forget. And I know what I was doing that day when I found out. And you're going to remember that just as you remember, you know, a holiday. But in the reverse, you know. So I just want to say God bless each and every one of you out there, you know, that have been through that, are still going through it, and, of course, those out there fighting for our freedom because that started the fight on terrorism at that time. So God bless each and every one of you.
And if I may order, I remember my time there, and do you remember the one attack on the Pentagon?
Yeah.
Well, I was saying my prayers around that time because one of my very good friends was living in around that area, and they work in it. They work in the Pentagon, and I was saying, and they're from where I live, so they grew up where I live. So, and I was his mother. And was always, his family was always close to my family, so I see his mother a lot. And I said, I was praying for all of you. I was praying for your son and your daughter-in-law that they're okay, and they got my, they felt my prayers, and they said, don't worry, we weren't near there at the time.
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's good. You know, a lot of people lost their lives or became disabled in some way even after everything was done because they were trying to rescue people or, you know, they were overcome or they got, there was no way for them to get out. And it's just so sad. It's sad. And I'm happy to live in a country that we do that is willing to fight for us and, you know, take care of people like this that want to fight us and kill us and all the other stuff. It's just so sad that we live in that type of world.
It is.
You know, there's so many countries fighting right now, and we're getting involved in again. And I don't know, it just seems never-ending. You always wish for peace in the world, but unfortunately I don't think that's ever going to happen, so... We just have to pray for the people out there that are struggling and fighting.
Yes, we do.
So hopefully our guest will call in soon. I think she might be on set or something because she only had limited times that she could call in. So maybe that's her hold up or
yes.
Who knows, phone problems. Maybe she's having
she,
phone issues.
Is she
like
doing
you
the movie?
Did.
Is she on?
I don't know. I don't know, because she only had certain times that she could call in. So I think that's maybe what it is. I know she, you know, is probably busy. She's an actress. That's what they do.
That's what they do.
I'm excited to talk to her, especially about her new movie, Mantravention. I watched the trailer for it, and I know you did, and it's so funny.
Yeah, I did. It is.
Yeah, definitely, and it opens this weekend, so I'd advise all of you. It's going to open in select theaters and also on video on demand, so if you can catch it, I advise you to do it because it is funny. My type of movie. You know me with comedies. Mm-hmm. I just love them. And for our listeners, you can go to Mantraventionthemovie.com to see where it's opening this weekend, and then you know, watch it on video on demand if you don't get it in your town or your city or wherever. If you go to that website, you can watch the trailer, see who else is in the movie. There's Nick Roux, and I hope I'm saying his name correctly. It's spelled R-O-U-X. So Nick Roux from Jane by Design and Pretty Little Liars, Travis Van Winkle from The Last Ship, Max Carver from Teen Wolf and The Leftovers, Mario Van Peebles from Allie and New Jack City, and so many others that you'll recognize, too. I'm sure there'll be a few of the cast members you recognize. So, oh, I think we might have our call, our
yes,
guest. One moment.
You do.
Chloe, is that you?
No, it's not. I am sorry to say. It's Gato Skatena, the producer of the movie.
Oh, hi. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm doing good. How are you two?
We're doing well. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks.
Are you
asking.
Calling in for her instead, or you're just calling in to join us?
You know, I am kind of calling in instead. We're definitely going to try and get her another time. Unfortunately, well, fortunately for her, she has class. She's going to Columbia University this year. So her class schedule majorly got in the way today, and it's been kind of difficult to wrestle with. But she's certainly bummed out. Apparently there was a necessary class or something that she had to sit in on, and it kind of came out of nowhere.
Oh, okay. Well, we understand when things happen like that, so we'll have her on at another time. So you're the producer for Mantravention?
One of them, yes, the few and the proud.
Well, you want to tell us about the movie, tell our listeners about it and how it all came about and everything?
Yeah. You know, the movie really started after my business partner and I, you know, we did a movie for Lifetime a couple of years ago, and our main investor had, you know, this funny idea for a script, and I know it's generally not advisable to also have your money people be a creative, but you had this really funny story that was kind of just written in prose. It wasn't, you know, anything yet. And when he finally fleshed out the screenplay, I kind of just couldn't stop laughing. So that was really it. I mean, when we read the first draft of the script, we just thought, we have to make this movie. It's not like crazy creative. It's not a one of a kind. It's a familiar story that everybody's gone through. It's about this college student, this guy played by Nick Roux. He plays the character of Spencer. And Nick, you might know from, like, Jane by Design on ABC Family, the movie Lemonade Mouth. And his character just gets heartbroken, you know. He gets dumped, and he sort of, you know, just hibernates in his little man cave when he's on break from school. And even his mother is worried about his, like, mental sanity. And his best friend named Coke in the film, played by Travis Van Winkle, who's currently on TNT's The Last Ship, Coke comes in and puts him through an unorthodox mantravention, albeit with some advice that's probably not the best advice to give. It's kind of like sort of swingers-esque, where it's like, okay, you need to go and meet as many women as possible, and this is the number of women that you need to meet and, you know, kind of hook up with before you're going to get over your ex. But in the process, Nick's character meets Chloe's character. And that's kind of, you know, the new true love, the love at first sight. Or actually, in this case, it's more like love at second sight.
You're right.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, I think we have Nick Roux on the phone right now. Let me just go ahead and pick up this call.
Sure.
Nick, are you with us?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
So we're great. This is turning into a completely
in
different show here.
What's up, Nick? It's Kato.
What's up, man?
How you doing, buddy?
Oh,
I just gave them the rundown on the story, and they
yeah,
did a great
I,
job.
I heard the rundown. I liked your rundown. You did the rundown way better than I could do the rundown.
I doubt it. I doubt it. But thank you for the kudos.
Well, Nick, how
for
did
sure,
you end
so
up on
up?
The movie?
I don't know how I ended up on it. It just kind of happened, and I was stoked to be there. I mean, you know, I met with Stuart, the director, and then we all got to set, and meeting everybody just kind of clicked, and I was happy. We were filming at a beach, so it was good. It was summer in California. We were all at the beach, and I had a great time.
What more can you ask for, right?
Oh, yeah, like a little mini vacation while shooting a movie.
Right. Well, you know, there's a lot of times that you guys do movies, and it's a summer movie, but you know, it could be in the middle of winter somewhere, and then you got to go in the water, and you're freezing cold, and you
yeah.
can't show it. So
exactly.
It kind of worked out for you.
Chloe, actually, in the movie, had to go in the water, and the water was, like, super, super cold, and we all felt so bad because the sun was going down, and she had to go in, like, 60-degree water because the water was not warm when we were doing it.
Oh, my gosh. See, there you go. There
yeah,
you go.
And she had to look all sexy coming out of the water, and
yeah.
it's freezing cold. So, but she did a great job. So, kudos to her.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely,
definitely.
I think that shows the true talent of you guys when you can do things like that, because we never see how you're really feeling. You know, when we're watching
yeah,
a movie
we never
or
see
TV
that
show.
Yeah, for sure. A little behind the scenes stuff.
Right, right. Now, what can you say is the best part of your character? What do you love about playing him?
I love him just because he's such a romantic. I have a friend that's very similar to him, and there's not a lot of guys that are like that out there that, you know, wear their feelings, you know, their heart on their sleeve and are very open with their feelings. Most people, you know, guys are very shy, don't want to talk about their feelings or their emotions, so Spencer was fun because he was kind of the opposite of that, and I got to just be like a really, really sensitive kid, which I think all guys are deep down, but they just kind of,
right.
you know, cover it up most of the time because that's the image that they're supposed to have. So it was a fun character because I got to be, you know, really, really real.
Definitely.
It was also,
definitely.
It was, you know, it was perfect for Nick too because Nick is like, he's a really strong dramatic actor. I mean, we saw a bunch of his work before bringing him on board, and the smallest sort of little, you know, emotions that might not really be projected on somebody else's face, Nick has this way where it could be like flaring his nostrils at kind of a funny moment. And there are a lot of moments in the movie that anticipating, we were certainly hoping for, but Nick really just killed it because you know, he's, like he said, he's the romantic, so out of, you know, in a comedy, he's playing, like, the straight guy, and Travis Van Winkle's playing, you know, the straight-up comedy, kind of like a Van Wilder character.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they play off of each other is awesome because, you know, we get these great close-ups with Nick where, like I said, there's this one scene in particular that I'm thinking of when he flares his nostrils. I think, actually, it's the same scene that you were talking about, Nick, when Chloe's, like, coming out of the water. And you're like, I really don't know what to do with this. Like, oh, my God, she looks hot. It's literally just like a little flare of his nostrils and like almost a twitch on one of his eyes. And it got laughs. And it gets laughs every time we show the film.
Yeah.
Those moments, especially some of those moments between Travis and I just love because our characters were so opposite with him, you know, being such a macho man and me being the, you know, the sensitive thinker, romantic, that
yep.
the comedy between us just made both of us so much funnier because we were best friends, but we were exact opposites.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the end,
well,
we both just
attract,
the end, we both just want love. So that's
mm-hmm.
what it's all about.
Now, what do you think is easier to play in a TV show or a movie or something, the straight guy or the funny guy?
I think it's a lot more vulnerable to be, you know, like the Spencer character where you're the romantic one because, you know, you have to, the kind of macho guy is kind of the guy that everybody wants to be in their life. You know, they want to be the one that gets all the girls and says those things and has the game. But most of us aren't really that. But getting to play a character like that is really fun and easy because you're just kind of, you know, it's not awkward or uncomfortable. So I for me at least, you know, playing the characters like this that are more, you know, vulnerable and have, you know, emotional feelings versus, you know, some ones of like just wanting to go out and hook up with as many girls. I think it's a harder character for me to play just because, you know, it's the stuff that you would say that you would only say to like your best friend, you know what I mean? You're doing on camera or whatever, because you have those really vulnerable moments. So I think that for me, and that's what I really was a challenge for me about this part was, it was a comedy and there is a lot of, you know, really hilarious stuff going on, but playing a character like that that's heartbroken and really has the feelings was definitely a challenge for me. And, you know, and Travis made it great too, because I had, you know, the better actors that you get to work with, the better your performance is. And him and I, you know, working off each other, I think worked really well. And I'm really happy with hearing what Gato said. I think he is too. So I'm stoked.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to see it. And I know David feels the same way, you know, just from the trailer. I watched it first and I gave David the link and I said, you got to watch this. And just as he started watching it, he comes back to me on Skype. You know, we type out, not talk, but he goes on Skype and he goes, is this a horror comedy? I'm like, what? And he goes, well, she just tore his heart out. I'm like,
oh. Yes. That was a funny scene to shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah, next up we'll do a remake of it as a horror comedy musical. But,
Nick, you can sing, right?
Sell.
He literally tore his heart out.
Yeah.
I love it.
It kind of makes you second guess what you're getting ready to watch there. You know, you read about it at first as a comedy kind of thing, and then all of a sudden you see that, and I guess it just blew David's mind.
There's some shock value to it, for sure.
Well, Nick, you got anything new coming up that you want to tell the listeners about?
No, you know, Mantravention really is the main thing that I'm pushing right now. I'm really happy that it's out there. You know, we filmed it, you know, two years ago, and I'm just so excited that, you know, a lot of my fan base is younger people, so I'm really excited to get something out that, you know, for an older crowd and see how, and I just, you know, working on it was so much fun, and I'm just really happy to have it out there so everyone can see it and hopefully appreciate it, because we had a really great time doing it.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of young, and it looks like something that I'm going to enjoy.
Yep.
Good.
Well, it's good. You know, the plug time, I mean, it is available now, so it's on video on demand. It's on iTunes and Vimeo. We're also doing a limited theatrical release in a few cities. So if anybody goes to our website, manterventionthemovie.com, everything's up there.
Yeah,
awesome.
I was looking at that. Yeah, it seems like it's opening mainly on the East Coast in theaters.
Yeah, for now, I mean, we've already been having discussions. It's like in a couple of these cities, Tampa, for example, it's already been selling out. So if it continues to have that kind of response from the audience, then we are talking about potentially doing, you know, a little bit wider of a limited run. We were talking with AMC about, you know, starting things off with like a 1 week run in a few cities. So if we see that there's some success here, then we're definitely open to going even wider.
Wonderful, wonderful. That sounds exciting. I'm in Chicago, so, you know, kind of move it this way. I can't just, you know, jump in my car and go to Atlanta.
I'll do my
best. I'm in upstate New York.
Well, we will definitely do our best to get it to the major cities for sure. But like I said, it is available on demand right now. So if you've got digital cable, then
wow.
Yeah, definitely check it out on demand.
That's a good thing. I mean, do you, Gato, do you feel that with all the, like, video on demand type things and Netflix and whatever, Do you think that has really helped you guys a lot more get your movies out there like this?
Yes and no. The technological advancements that have made, you know, video on demand and everything possible have kind of come either hand in glove or even a little bit behind some of the technological advancements in filmmaking itself. So where you had to film, let's say, if you wanted to do a professional film, you had to shoot on 35mm, you know, years ago. Now you can spend, you know, you can spend less than $1 million and make a very professional-looking movie. I mean, the vast majority of content that you'll see, feature films that are straight to television, so you're talking like Lifetime, A&E, ABC Family, stuff like that, the vast majority of those films are now shot for under $1 million. And really what that kind of created is the good and the bad. The good is that you can obviously make more content for less money. And so the professionals that are really sort of detail-oriented, I hope, like myself, you know, we put a lot of attention to detail, and we want to make sure that we're delivering on a good product, not just a random product. You know, we're not just putting stuff out there to put it out there.
Right.
The bad side to that technological, you know, these advancements is that there has been a major increase in the quantity of content that's out there. So a lot of, you know, people are producing films, you know, feature-length films for, you know, very small amounts of money, but they have no background, no training. They have very few connections within the industry, whether it's New York, Los Angeles, or abroad. So they're producing, you know, these movies, and they're giving them to buyers, distributors, sales reps, and agents. And with that, with there being so much more content now for people like Netflix or DirecTV, Comcast, et cetera, to look at, their pile of, you know, material to consider for release has gotten much larger. So I think that in the end, it kind of, I think it balances out a little bit. I mean, the one thing that I think had the biggest beneficial impact for independent filmmakers happened decades ago, and that was when the U.S. Supreme Court deemed, you know, it being a monopoly that the studios were owned and operated by the same companies that owned and operated all of the major theaters. And as soon as they had to sort of separate that, that I think is the biggest thing that really made independent filmmaking a financially viable business.
Yeah, that is a good thing, because just think, we wouldn't be able to see all these independent movies, and there are so many good ones out there. You know, if it didn't get picked up by a studio, then, you know, you were SOL. But this way, you know, you benefit and we benefit from it. But
yeah,
I can
absolutely
understand, you know, where the bad parts come in too. So, but you got to take the bad with the good when you're in this type of business, I would guess, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think overall it benefits everybody, because there's more material out there for more people can see it. You know, it's tough for on some things, but I think all in all, it is a benefit. And you know, the more, you know, Amazon and certain companies that are getting into, you know, making new TV shows and movies, I just think it's better for, you know, just the more content that comes out, the better the stuff there will be.
Definitely. Yep. And you guys, the movie itself is on Twitter, right?
Yeah, we are on Twitter. It's just at Mantervention. So it's spelled like intervention, but with a man in front instead of the I.
And then Facebook, and then the website. Are you guys anywhere else where they can find you?
We're on Instagram as well. We've been a little slow in rolling content out, but we've got some good, you know, film stills up there. We also have, like, some funny sort of, like, you know, internet memes up there. I mean, the fun thing about marketing a movie like this is it's really come down to, like, all of the creative involved in this film. And I've been trying to get – I've got to talk to Nick Moore about it and Travis about it, but we basically just – when we get bored on a Saturday night, I might be watching TV and it might not be particular, you know, a good – show that I'm watching, and so I just start flipping through my phone and, like, trying to come up with funny jokes, and that's it.
Yeah.
So we've been releasing a lot of, like, tweets and everything sort of in the vein of the characters in the film, whether it's Nick's character Spencer or Travis's character Toast. We just kind of sit around, and when we get bored, we write up new jokes.
That's good. It draws interest, you know, to the movie.
Yeah.
For sure, yeah. Check out the website, too, because it has all the information on theaters and where you can see it.
You're right, exactly, and you can watch the trailer. And, Nick, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter. My name is @TheRealNickRoux, R-O-U-X.
That's it? No Facebook or anything?
No. Well, on my Twitter, you'll be able to see all of my other stuff that I have. But that's
okay. And that seems to be the biggest social media tool out there is Twitter.
Yeah, I use Twitter, and I love actually Instagram because I think a picture says like, you know, 1,000 words, and that's better for me. That's better for me to show, you know, my fans rather than say, hey, I'm at this place eating, doing this. You know, on Twitter, I can post a picture of something cool, and they know, oh, that's where he is. That's really awesome. So I love Instagram, and on my Twitter, it says what my Instagram is, so you can find me through there.
Well, sounds good. Well, I want to thank you guys for joining us today and calling in. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
We'll get Chloe on at another time, but it was a lot of fun talking with you guys.
Likewise.
Well,
yes,
thank you
was.
For having us.
You're welcome. Enjoy the rest
You're
of your
welcome.
Day, and we'll be watching Mantervention very soon.
Awesome.
All right.
Thank
sounds
you.
Good.
Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care, guys.
Well, that was different, but it was still fun. I'm glad we got somebody to talk to about the movie. You know, that was the main reason for doing the show today. So, and good luck to Chloe with her classes. That's real important to do as well. And we hope that we can get her on real soon for you guys to, you know, be able to hear what she's up to and about her life and career and about school. So, sorry it's a short show, but it was an informational show, and it was fun. And, David, thanks for joining me.
You're very welcome. And I'd like to say something right out loud. I said, I am working with a truly professional woman here. She just rolls with the punches. I am so blessed to be working with you. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You kind of have to do that when you do this type of show.
I know. I don't know if I could ever, you know, do that. I'd be like, huh? You know what I'm talking about? I'm saying, she's not here. I'm going, she's not here. Now what do I do?
Yeah, well, for our listeners, what David and I do, you know, when we find out we're having a certain guest, we get questions together, so that way we're not just, you know, winging it through the whole show, because you don't always remember everything that you want to say or you want to ask, and so we prepare ourselves, and we do research and things like that, so when something like this happens, which thankfully I think this is the first time that's ever happened, as far as somebody else calling in. We've had a couple other times where a guest couldn't call because they were busy on set, but then we just ended the show. So, you know, I can say thank you to my brain for being able to do this. Because while we're waiting for the guest calling in, I get an email saying, oh, well, by the way, Gatto's calling in and Nick's calling in. Like, oh, no. But you don't hear me saying that out loud. But thank you. I appreciate you saying that, David.
I'm saying that as a true compliment to you. And as good humor to everyone else who was listening.
Well, I appreciate that. And for our listeners, be sure to join us next Tuesday. Let's see, that's the 16th. Our guest is going to be Brandy Maxell, and I hope I'm saying her name correctly. But she's on the Hollywood Wives of L.A., and we'll be talking about that as well as her cancer that she had to go through and her infertility issues, and this month being cancer month, you know, it's a real important thing to talk about and talk about how she got through it, how it was discovered and everything like that. So we'll be talking with her at 8 p.m. Eastern time, and my other co-host, Sabina, will be joining me at that time. So thanks, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll see you again next Tuesday. Take care, everybody, and thanks again, David.
You're welcome. Stay safe, everybody.
Yes. Have a blessed night. Thank you.
Get connected with Take Two Radio on Facebook or Twitter at Take Two Radio. For email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit TakeTwoRadio.com.